Good morning, Texas, especially Fort Worth, Dallas area. And as always, the website listeners and any visitors we have out there this morning, this is the Cup of Goodness program. This is program number 110 in our long monthly series. We are looking at the goodness of God. Like I've said 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, people say God is good, but I don't think many have ever studied just how good He truly is and what His goodness is all about. We do realize that in Romans chapter 2, it's the goodness of God that leadeth people to repentance, not the severity and the fear of God with His vengeance to us as Christians. His vengeance will come eventually, but for now, God is centered on His goodness to the lost world as well as to the Christians. The lost world has their judgment coming up. The Christians have had their judgment. Now all we need to deal with is our works. They will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. But anyway, we are continuing on here with a series that probably has developed into one bigger than I thought it would, and is talking about topics of praise. We spent the last week or so looking at music verses and what the Bible has to say about music, and we kind of park on with the two verses that Paul talks about, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Then in Colossians he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Then I brought up the fact that there are topics in the praises and topics in our Bible that deal with how to praise the Lord, what to talk about, what to be thankful for. And we started on those subjects, those topics. We didn't get very far, actually. We got as far as singing praises or singing thankfulness concerning admonishment, being redeemed from the world, the flesh, the devil, and being redeemed from churches that are teaching false gospel and from the modern music scene. We talked about personal convincing, how we are convinced from our scriptures, from reading, that the Holy Spirit convinces us, not convicts us, but convinces us, as He shows us the knowledge of the risen Savior in that Bible. Then we talked about His righteous judgments, that we can trust what the Lord decides, and His judgments are totally true. They don't cause anybody to stumble. They're expedient, they edify, and they are victory over the flesh that we have. They help us have victory over the power that these things in this world have over us. Those are the things we talked about. So this morning, things to be thankful for, things to sing up to the Lord about praise and mercy, not all the modern wishy-washy, lovey-dovey stuff that goes on in music today, or they're singing false doctrine, false gospel, that God just loves everybody, and et cetera, et cetera. Remember, God loved the world. Past tense. He did. He offered His love. If they reject His love, they don't have His love. It's that simple. But let's get right on to the subject. We're going to talk about strength. Number 6 on our list, if you're keeping track here, we're going to talk about strength. You know, as I started this thing yesterday, I realized, well, you know, we've got Thanksgiving coming up. And so this is kind of timing just right. This gives us a far more sincere and a deeper thoughts when it comes to being thankful. These are actually some just deeper and more comforting topics. They should give us comfort as we talk about them. We should be willing to accept them as admonishment if necessary. They're just simple teachings. Again, we're not going to do long studies on each one of these things at all. But it should encourage us to not only be thankful, but to be joyful with our thanks because of what these things really are. These are the deeper things of life. These are the deeper things from God. These are the deeper things that only come about because of His goodness. Romans chapter 2, risen Savior to Paul in a King James Bible. When we've got thanks coming down the road, let's check out a couple of verses here that talk about being thankful. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're going to sing about something, you're going to sing about the Lord, you're going to sing about being thankful. Be thankful for the victory that we have. Well, what victories do we have? Do we have day-to-day victories? Well, we could. What if we have those losses every day, but we still have that victory? We still have that triumph. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Even when something bad, you know, goes on in our life, we still have victory. We still are going to triumph because we have Christ, because we have His Word of God, because we have His words we can turn back to and get that encouragement again. When we realize about His walk, when we realize about His grace, we realize about His mercy. and we realize what his kindness is. But then when we look at his goodness, it's that goodness that brings us back to God. It's that goodness that gets us to want to do the right thing again. He says here in Corinthians, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Bountifulness. What if we don't have much money? What if we're deep in debt? What if we have health issues? What if we have family issues? Well, he's talking about spiritual bountifulness. Look what he's done for us. And again, I won't take the time to do that today. We've got 110 programs that talk about the goodness of God and all this bountifulness that we have. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in everything give thanks. Even the stuff, yeah, even that stuff that makes for a lousy day. You know, I've been through the ministry, many churches, different parts of the country, and each one has gone modern. Each one has tossed out the King James Bible. Each one has brought in music. Each one rejects Paul's teachings. Each one rejects the teachings of the risen Savior to this day. But am I bitter and angry towards them? No, I learned from that. I learned from those pastors and from those people, from those churches. So we can just stand up straight and we can keep going. And so as we're doing this with Thanksgiving approaching here, let's just look at some more topics that are worthy of being thankful to him. And like I did mention a few minutes ago, we're going to look at the next one is his strength. Be thankful for his strength. Well, what about his strength? Too many people are still caught up with this Old Testament mentality that if you do the right thing, God will step in and bless you physically, and he will give you that physical strength. He will give us the spiritual strength, which can turn to us physically because we have that joy, we have that uplift to keep going physically. There's no doubt about that. But he does say in Corinthians again, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now what do we need his grace. We get our strength from his grace. Now listen up, you'll see what I mean here. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul is telling us that as we wind down, as we get down, as things happen, we become weaker. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So the weaker we are, the more infirmities we have, what he's saying, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For victories, eventually. For triumph, eventually. Be thankful. It's his grace. It's his grace. When you look at the word strength, when you read your Bible, King James Bible, of course, I want you to always remember that that strength is because of his grace. This is the dispensation of grace. Our strength, our encouragement, our keep goingness is based on his grace. Now, we have to remind ourselves that that grace is not there so we can just party hardy. That grace is there so we can try to serve him. We can try to be thankful to him. We can try to praise him. We can try to do the right thing. We can try to please him. And when we don't, and our flesh wins, and we struggle, and we trip, where's our strength to get back up? The strength is in the fact of his grace. It's his grace. Now listen to some more here. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How do we have that spiritual strength in the inner man? It's all because of his grace. You can be walking down the road. You can be walking to work. You can be walking down the hallways. You can be having a water break at work. You can be anywhere and having just a downer day. Things can be happening. Things can be happening because of you. Things can be happening because of other people. But we have got his grace. Yes, his love is there, no doubt. Yes, his mercy is there. Yes, his kindness, which we'll read about one of these days. And yes, his goodness. But if it wasn't for his grace, we wouldn't have to deal with, we wouldn't be able to appreciate his goodness, wouldn't be able to appreciate his kindness and be thankful for these things. God has always had his grace. In every dispensation, God's grace has been there. But only in this dispensation of grace do we have grace in a way that it is established from the risen Savior. The penalty's been paid. Now he just wants us to keep getting stronger and stronger. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So, we should glory in our infirmities, because during that time, the power of Christ is resting upon us. He's given us that strength. What is that strength? Say it again. Or should I say it with me, class. It's God's grace. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And everybody says that verse in Philippians is because Christ strengtheneth me. Well, it's the grace that strengthens us. So his grace that's upon us, when we do all things through Christ, it's those things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Doesn't say who strengtheneth me. Your modern Bible say who strengtheneth me. No, it's those things that we do through Christ. It's those things that we do with his grace that keeps us going. Those things strengtheneth me. It's part of what maturing is. We become more mature from a kid to an adult because we learn all those things that we do through our life that causes us to be more mature. Paul even says to us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Is he saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me? Or is he saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me? And that's those things that gives us that strength. And we have the grace to keep us going, trying to do those things to please God. Now, there was a time when Paul was witnessing to somebody, and everybody else left him. He was there by himself. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. All of his buddies left him. All the people on the website were gone. All of his local friends were gone. All the Paul people were gone. Nobody was interested. That I'm expounding upon what was the situation for Paul was. And then he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So Paul talks about the strength he received. The Lord stood with me. Well, we don't have the Lord like Paul did, as far as all of a sudden appearing and standing next to you that you see him. But we have his word. We have his words. Everywhere we go, at work, in the car, on a bus, on a train, on a boat, on vacation, anywhere, he can be there to strengthen us. And he strengthens us with his spirit in the inner man. We get that inner strength from his grace. And that grace is talked about in his King James Bible. And that's what we're looking at this morning. We're looking at these praise topics, these thankful topics. It gives us something to realize that marvelous God that he is. How about looking at his mercies? His mercies. It's by his mercy things are taking place the way they are. A good study for you would be sometime is to look up the definitions and study mercy, grace, kindness, and his goodness. And you'll see that there's differences in there. He's a merciful God, without doubt. How about the honor of his name? This would be number 8 for those that are taking notes. And I will be updating that topics of praise page over the next month to get these verses all added into this thing. How about the honor of his name? What's his name? Jesus? His name is Jesus Christ now. He's the risen Savior. The Old Testament and the Gospels talked about his name all the time. In fact, I remember reading somewhere, but it's been a long time ago, that when they were handwriting the scriptures and they would make a mistake, or if they would write his name incorrect, or they didn't erase, they started the whole thing over again. They revered his name. They honored his name. And we know in the Gospels, that was the whole issue. What's his name? Well, he's the Messiah. He's Christ. He's the one that came here to be our Savior. So his name was what they had to believe in. And his name was Jesus. He was the Son of God. That was what the issue was. Today, we have similar stuff, but we have one more thing today. And that is in Psalm 138. Really quite interesting. Psalm 138. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So his name is a hallowed name. His name is a holy name. His name is God. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that speaks over everybody. But he does say, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And if you think about that, that's what some of you parents are concerned about, is you want your name not to be tarnished by your children. So you maintain the name of your family. You maintain that. You want that name to be honored. You want that name to be representative of truth and fairness, etc., etc. So the same thing with God. How would we know which Jesus we're talking about if there wasn't something above both of those, and that would have to be his word? His word has to be magnified above his name so we know which name we're talking about. Does that make sense? How do you know if it's Jesus, the Antichrist, or if it's Jesus, the risen Christ? You have to go to his word, because that's magnified even above his name. That's the next step above his name, and that's the last and only step above his name. So be thankful. Honor his name. When we use the name of God in vain, when we just say it in casualness or in expression, either expression of anger or expression of joy or just common language that we don't even know we're saying it anymore, that's not honoring his name. We recognize what his name is. And in our praises, he's not your buddy. He's not your cool cat that sits next to you. He's not Mr. Good Guy. You know what I'm saying? He's God. He's the Savior. He's the Creator. You put all those things together when you study that. So you think about it. We should praise him because of his name, the honor of his name. And then keep in mind that his name is so honorable, but his word is still magnified above his name. How about doctrinal appreciation? We should appreciate his doctrine. Paul says a couple times that when Titus was showing up and when Timothy was showing up, the people were excited, they were joyful. They had a joy because Timothy and or Titus were coming. Well, Titus and Timothy talk about the walk more than anybody else. Those are the ways of Paul that Paul said to Timothy should be taught in every church, everywhere. How many people today don't want to hear the teachings out of Timothy and Titus? Titus chapter 2, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." So we should appreciate his doctrine. So when you read Titus chapter 2, hopefully you'll be able to say, well, I'm in there a little bit. I'm trying to be that kind of an aged woman or aged man or a young woman. I'm trying to be discreet. I'm trying to be chaste. And you wear yourself down trying to be these things. But then you realize, yes, but this is what pleases God. So I appreciate having his doctrine available to me so I can know what I can do, try to do, to please God. And there's some tough things in there. Timothy and Titus are some tough things. I have seen more people give up Christianity, truth of Christianity. I've seen more people give up the risen Savior. I've seen more people give up on Paul and a King James Bible because the preacher, I wonder who that would be, was talking about Timothy and Titus's teachings. I've seen that happen so many times. Doctrinal appreciation. We should truly appreciate his doctrine. Now, I was thinking the other day, kind of a bunny trail program by itself here, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears." And I started to think about that these last few weeks. So website family, listen up to this one especially. You'll understand this. When he's talking about a time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. Yes, we can be talking about the modern Christian. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. That's King James Bible, Paul, right and dividing. But now listen, they're not having to not endure sound doctrine. They don't hear it. Their pastors are not preaching sound doctrine. So who's preaching sound doctrine are the pastors that are preaching Paul, preaching the risen Savior, and preaching the teachings of the risen Savior through Paul. That's his ways. That's what sound doctrine is, Timothy and Titus. So who hears that? Well, that's the, as I call them, the Paul people. The people that are following the teachings of the risen Savior through Paul. And they're the ones, the time will come, when they, who's that? That's the people that understand what sound doctrine is. They will finally quit enduring it because it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes, it's a challenge to fight that flesh every day without wearing down. So there, the time will come, and I see it happening in the ministry. I see it happening with my Paul family. I see it happening in the website. I see it happening with people I've seen over the years who got excited about Paul, but after a while, they just couldn't endure it anymore. Like it's all that hard, but it is when you compare it to living the worldly life. So it says here, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So what these people are doing that understand sound doctrine, they're looking to somebody else who will teach that sound doctrine in a manner that is not threatening or challenging to them. Listen, folks, all you've got to do to learn how to walk to please God is just read your Bible and especially concentrate on Timothy and Titus. You don't need some guy on the website. You don't need some guy on YouTube to preach to you how to please God. Your works will be based, the rewards for your works will be based on Paul's teachings, Romans 2:16. So your judgment seat of Christ, if you're so concerned about your rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, then quit checking out YouTube, quit trying to find people that are preaching to scratch your little itchy ears, and just read your Bible. The whole point of my website, the whole point of this program, is to get people to be able to sit down with their Bible and read their Bible. They can learn this marvelous doctrine. They can learn to appreciate doctrine. They can learn what that doctrine is. They can learn how to walk to please God. And they can read about the warnings. They can read about the admonishments. They can read the list of things what you should or should not do to please God. Keeping in mind, we have God's grace for our strength. And when you do mess up, you've got His grace. Those works will be judged, but you won't be. This doctrinal appreciation, I see fewer and fewer and fewer people appreciating the doctrine from the risen Savior. They don't like it. I hesitate to even preach it on the program here because people are going to get, they're going to turn Paul's teachings, Paul's ways into the law. And it isn't the law. But it does tell people how to please the Lord. He says right here, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. So, do you appreciate what Paul has taught regarding your walk? Your day-to-day affairs, the things you do, the things you really shouldn't do as a Christian. He tells us who to avoid, who to withdraw from. He tells us how to have our thoughts and prayers and concerns for other people. He tells us how to witness. He does tell us how to dress. He does tell us where to go and where not to go. Well, why? Is it because is he going to put the big severity kibosh on us? No, not at all. Those things are going to burn the judgment seat of Christ. We'll never hear about them again. And if you do get any rewards out of that, you'll be rewarded eternally. So what's the problem? People just, I'm realizing that it's the Paul people that will not endure sound doctrine. It's not the modern Christians. They're having a great time with their music. They're having a great time with their doctrine of love, everybody. They're having a great time throwing out the boundaries and the doctrinal walls. They have no clue what sound doctrine is. But those people that do, they're wearing down. They're giving up. And if they stay with it at all, they're looking for some preacher or some teacher who's going to scratch their little itchy ears. And they're turning their ears away from the truth. I've seen it in the last 10 years. People are fading away. We see what it says in Romans chapter 11, right? And when he says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee, that's the Gentiles, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. There's a time the Gentiles are going to be cut off as a nation. They don't want to hear about the goodness of God. And I'm realizing more and more that those people will not endure sound doctrine. Those are the people that know what sound doctrine is. And they're wearing down and they're quitting. They're backing away. So one of the things in your music, if you're going to sing, sing about your doctrinal appreciation. When you have Thanksgiving coming up and you want to be thankful, you get into this thankful mode, then be thankful for his doctrine. Be thankful for the doctrine from the risen Savior in a King James Bible to Paul. And folks, that is especially Timothy and Titus. Ephesians has some things in there about marriage. Thessalonians has some things in there. Colossians and Philippians. But the tough stuff is especially Timothy and Titus. Remember, that's not the law, but that is the doctrine that pleases God. And be thankful and be joyful that you know what it is. But don't let it wear you down. You've got his grace to give you that strength to get back up and to keep going. And listen, folks, I'm listening to this little mini sermon myself. Sometimes you do get down. Sometimes you have your off days. Sometimes you don't want to teach a program or preach something because you know you're falling on deaf ears probably. And now that I realize that, listen, it's the Paul people that are wearing out from sound doctrine. We got to keep going. You got to get that strength in that inner self. You got to get that from the Spirit of God within a King James Bible, because he's going to daily remind us of his grace. Keep going and get up. How did your children learn to walk? They kept falling down as a toddler, and you kept standing there and encouraging them. You had your grace. You helped them, and now they're walking and they're running, and now probably they're walking and running places they shouldn't be walking and running. Kind of sometimes wish you hadn't taught them how to walk. No, they just need to be guided, and that's what a job of a parent is, which I know is old-fashioned today. Well, we didn't get very far with this program this morning. We got by his strength, a few comments about his mercies. We looked at the fact that it's his word that's magnified above his name. Be thankful for that. And then we kind of got parked on this doctrinal appreciation. Appreciate God. Appreciate his doctrine. Appreciate the risen Savior, what he went through. Appreciate what he's taught to us through Paul in this King James Bible. Appreciate the fact that this Bible is there for doctrine. But you need to appreciate the fact that all the doctrine in this Bible isn't written to us. But appreciate the doctrine that is written to you. And be thankful and sing about it. And let it give you that joy and that encouragement. And as you start to fade, call on his grace to just get you back up again and keep going. And don't give up. It's very easy to do so these days. Remember, Romans 11 says it's going to happen. But don't let it happen to you.